I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey y'all, welcome back. Part two on the Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase the Most podcast we got some West Forsyth football action here on part two of today's edition of the program with the West Forsyth head football coach over there in Cumming, Georgia, back in the home state, David Svella, who has been there for a couple years now. And it was just so much fun to be able to talk with Dave about his team, about just where this program is going, where he would like to see the program going forward, what he remembers from last year, or still thinking about from last year, what games were important, the Walton game, what he learned in the Mill Creek games, what the schedule looks like this year, what makes Oscar Delp so special, and his schematic preferences, both on offense and defense, how high school football has changed over the years, and just all kinds of great stuff, just picking his brain on all things football with Dave. So appreciate him making the time on part two here on the Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022 edition here on the podcast. Thank you again to Dave for coming on. And yeah, I think you guys will very much enjoy learning a lot of about not just West Forsyth, but also just football in general. So it's great to pick his brain and had a lot of fun with that. Don't forget, folks, you can check us out and watch this YouTube and all the good stuff over on YouTube, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast. Like and subscribe and check us out there. All kinds of great video content over on the YouTube page. So make sure you go check that out. Read me, sportsrenaissanceman.substack.com. Type in your email, become a member that way. That easy, that simple. Tweet at me at @Chase_Thomas. Like the Facebook page at facebook.com/ChaseThomasWriter. And then, of course, check out the homepage, ChaseThomasPodcast.com. And as always, email the program, ChaseThomasPodcast@gmail.com. All right. I think that's it. Part two here on a Wednesday here on the Blue Wire Pod Network. Chase Thomas Podcast starts now. Uncle Darren, let's go.
Chase Thomas Podcast. The Chase Thomas Podcast. My nephew needs me to record. See, I already hate it.
All right, we're back here on the Chase Thomas Podcast, taping this late on a Tuesday, all the way down there in Cumming, Georgia, West Forsyth, the Wolverines. Not a lot of Wolverine mascots in the state of Georgia. There's a lot of Tigers, a lot of Panthers, a lot of Broncos, a lot of Admirals, that kind of thing. But you know what? There's not a lot of Wolverines. But it's cool because Forsyth is booming. A lot of good football being played in Forsyth County these days. To talk a little bit about his particular program and what they've got cooking this fall in Cumming, Georgia, it's Coach Dave Svella. Coach, how's it going, man?
It's going great. Appreciate you having me on.
thanks for being here, man. How's the summer going? How is it going with camp and everything else?
It's chilly down here, man.
I don't think I can believe you on that front. As someone in East Tennessee right now and family still in North Georgia, I can't buy that one, man.
It's been warm, but our kids are doing great. Really good participation. We were at a Corky Kell 7-on-7 last week with some of the top teams in Georgia, and just fun to watch our kids compete. You know, they're working through the weather just like everybody else, but we're going to play in it, so we've got to train in it.
So what is that like? Do you have a pretty good system for how you want to just slowly get into installs before you get a feel? Because I imagine with camps, not just with your own and the Corky Kell and things like that, but kids are just at different camps and it's hard to get everybody there at one time, right?
It is. I mean, the approach that I take is, I think it's different than some people, but we do what I call a whole part whole. So we put in the spring, we put in a ton of stuff. It's all about installation. We teach the what of the assignments, and then we spend the summer teaching the how. So, you know, there's not a lot of install going on right now, but there's a lot of how do you get in the proper stance? What's my first step look like? Where's my hands going? And a lot of people do that in the spring, but sometimes
you have it flip kind of
sports. Well, yeah, I do. I flip it, but I just feel like it makes the most sense to me. And I feel like the summer's the time that we have the chance to really focus on those small fundamentals.
That's interesting, because I guess the reason that, and just having talked to so many different coaches and covered this for a long time, is that, like, I guess the thought would be is that the spring kids who are graduating, they're gone. So what do you do there in that mixture of, like, what do you, you're not really sure who's going to be in your program come fall and know what kind of kids you are, you're going to have. So it's like, you want to be careful on what kind of installs you're putting in, because you just might not have the guys to run it. And then you might have to throw that out come summertime, because you get in there and you're like, oh, we're not going to be able to do this anymore.
Right. Well, one of the things we're not likely going to get, which a college might get, is we're not going to get a 5-star freshman that's going to come in and start on the varsity. That just doesn't happen in high school very often.
Right.
So we've got a pretty good feel for our team. We've got a pretty good feel for the strengths and weaknesses and kind of the direction we want to go. And quite honestly, that's also part of spring, is we throw a bunch at them and we figure out, okay, we're pretty good at this. All right, we're not very good at this. Let's get rid of that so that this summer we can be really focused.
What'd you find this spring that you were like, okay, we gotta get better about this?
Well, we're inexperienced up front. Mm-hmm. We're inexperienced on the offensive and defensive lines. We've got a lot of really good football players returning. That to me was just a matter of getting as many reps as we could, finding out who can play at 7A football on a Friday night in Georgia. And, you know, we found some kids, and that was really important for us this spring.
Do you feel better about the trenches this fall than where you were at a year ago?
I feel less sure. I feel less sure. My first year, 2 years ago, I didn't know anybody or anything. Yeah. We had COVID, and it was a messy year, and we somehow found ourselves in the Elite Eight that our first year. And so we had some of those kids back. So I felt really good about our guys up front last year. This year, a lot of those kids graduated. So I feel like we have good players. We just don't have very much experience.
What position group right now are you most comfortable with? Where do you think you're like, all right, I think we're good here. This will be an area of strength.
I love my linebackers. Okay. I love my linebackers. We've got Riley McKee and Raleigh Herbert are both senior captains. They've started since they were sophomores. Raleigh's got a bunch of offers. You know, we've got some outside linebackers that started for us last year. Those kids are really smart, really physical, and a great anchor for our defense. Love those kids.
That's so what's different about your scheme defensively? What do you ask for your linebackers that is different than what a lot of other coaches are asking?
Well, I don't know if it's different or not. We have transitioned a little bit. We kind of were an even front reading defense, and everybody's got a responsibility, and you got to pick up pullers and you got to read high hats. And a lot of odd front defenses now are kind of just turning their linebackers loose.
Right.
Because they're turning the guys up front loose and saying, go get in the backfield, and linebackers, you know, make them right. And so I think that's been a transition. So we're trying to combine a little bit of both those things. We're trying to get our guys really aggressive, but we also want our guys to be able to read on the runs, redirect when they see misdirection, and get into a pass drop when they need to. And that's something that having experienced kids back there makes a big difference.
Do you prioritize more backers who can cover more or who can play the run more?
I mean, I'm a native of Lincoln, Nebraska.
I know where you're going with this then.
we run the football where I come from, mm-hmm. and we run the ball and we try to stop the run. And I mean, of course you've got to work on pass drops. You got to work on all that stuff. But if teams can run it on you, how well you play pass defense is not going to make a difference. So we do focus on stopping the run.
That's interesting because, like, when you watch the tape, I mean, a lot of programs, they air it out a lot more now than they ever did when I was coming through. I mean, like, I grew up with the Parkview Smash Mouth football from the early 2000s with Coach Flo. And, I mean, I was just watching tape and wrote about this today, the Colquitt Valdosta game from this sprint this past fall where, man, they match up hunt over and over again. And the speed is crazy. But it's like if you have the mismatch with the tight end where, like, they have this kid, Landon Thomas, who's just absurd. And he has this, like, there's no backer who's on their schedule who can stay with this guy. Like, there's just nothing you can do. If you get a bad jump and you bite on an RPO, that second that you bite and you think that it might be a run, it's over. Like, this guy, do you have one of those guys on your team where you're like, you bite or we call this? Like, it's over. Like, you know, like the Steph Curry where you hit the three and you just don't even have to watch it go in.
Or as I like to say, Larry Bird. Sure.
But yeah, there you go.
Either way. Now, to be honest with you, I mean, last year we had one of the top two tight ends in the country. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that took a guy who has traditionally run the ball a lot. And we got the ball to Oscar Delp on a pretty regular basis last year. And so if you have those kind of players, you got to use them, but we don't have that guy, mm-hmm. but we have probably a better collection of individuals. Like they're a better group maybe than mm-hmm. we were last year. We don't have that individual. We don't have Travis Hunter where you can just, you can set up a game plan around him, and if teams want to take him away, they had other talent. They had other good players. So, you know, we're not really in that boat, but not very many people are.
Travis Hunter was just a wild player to watch because he's not very big. He's not a very big kid, and he's just so shifty and so fluid, but he's just impossible to bring down. You watched him, you're like, I don't understand how he's making these really talented teams just look silly week after week.
We played against them over at Collins Hill in a 7-on-7 last year. And the thing that stood out to me was defensively the amount of ground that he could cover.
Yeah.
I mean, it was, you would think you had guys open, but if your quarterback did not throw the ball on time and did not throw it in a good location, it was going to get picked. That was the most impressive thing to me, was just how much space he could cover.
Do you think you have a quarterback this year who can be a multi-read guy?
I do. Mm-hmm. We got a kid named Jack Tomlinson that we think's got a really strong arm. He's a good looking kid, 6'2" kid, can run mm-hmm. a little bit. So we're gonna ask him to do some things that maybe we haven't done the past couple of years with our quarterbacks.
What do you have a percentage that you like to monitor throughout the season to see like what our run pass percentage is, or is it more based on just how the game's going?
For me, it's very much based on feel. It's based on game plan. I don't worry about balance. I think balance is overrated. I don't think there's any value to balance unless you're really good at both things. If we're better at something than something else, that's what we're going to do more. But you can't just do that. So I don't pay a lot of attention to it. I do try to pay attention to see how predictable I am. I think that's important.
Yeah.
And because everybody is. But
you can be predictable in high school, right? Like if you're like, you can be predictable. You can tell, you can show the defense, even if they know that a play is coming to Oscar Delp, good luck. Like if it's going to it, like good luck.
You can, again, if you have those players,
those
players are not, there's a lot of them in Georgia. There's a lot of great football players in Georgia. And I've been fortunate to coach a good number of them, but it's not very often that a team's got a bunch of them. And I mean, your elite teams have found ways to get multiple studs on their team, but I think your run of the mill teams, the good share teams, are just playing with the kids in their attendance areas and just trying to game plan the best they can with the talent they have.
What personnel do you think you're going to do the most this fall?
Well, now I'm one of the few guys, I'm still a believer in an attached tight end, and I always like adding a gap. When I talk to defensive coordinators, they hate it. I know it's trendy. I know it isn't.
Yeah,
but you see it more in college now than you've seen it in a long time also.
Why do you think that is?
Because I think it puts defenses in a bind. I think the athleticism of some of those kids at tight end and at H and F and those spots really can create some mismatches. So you can put them in the box and the defense may not personnel-wise be set up to play against guys in the box.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they bring in box defenders, then you can move those guys out on the perimeter and you can take advantage of that. So I think that's one of the reasons I still believe in it, because I think it's important in running the football, but mm-hmm. I think you're seeing it more. I even think you're seeing some under center stuff more than you had before. And I grew up for my first 17, 18 years, we were under center almost exclusively.
How much are you under center now?
Almost never.
Yeah.
It's
wild how quickly that change happened.
We went back to it last year a little bit. We're going to go back to it this year a little bit. There are things that you can do under center. Play action pass is extremely effective from under center. Running backs getting downhill is easier from an I formation.
Right.
There are some advantages, but there's certainly some advantages to being in the gun too. And that's why I think it's important to be able to do both, or, you know, not everybody does both, but I like doing both.
What's the hardest part about playing quarterback in your system?
I think we ask him to know a lot. We ask him to communicate, you know, protection. We ask him to communicate alignment, linebackers to our offensive line. We ask a lot of him. But I think we try, when we're game planning, we try to, for lack of a better term, dumb it down so that once the ball snapped, we want him to just play. We don't want him in a bunch, but we do give him a fair amount of things to think about before the ball snapped.
What have you found most teams are throwing at you this pat, I guess, going forward, and what you think they'll keep throwing at you? Do you think they're mostly doing split safeties, cover hot, like cover two, or are they doing a lot of press man? Like,
we're seeing a lot of man coverage. We're seeing some cover one, we're seeing some cover zero, but we play teams with freaks. I mean, we play some really, really good football teams. We're going to open with Archer this year on TV and the Corky Kell, and they just got stud football players, and they can get away with playing that to some degree.
It's dangerous.
And you're seeing it more now. Now, those teams also give up some plays.
Yeah.
But they understand that. I mean, they know that going in. They just think that that they'll give up few enough to still get a win. And so we see that more maybe than I saw 10 years ago, for sure.
Do you prioritize explosive plays where you're like, all right, we need to hit X number if we want to have a chance in this particular game?
We talk about it. We don't have a number. Mm-hmm. We talk about some of the things that we talk about that I think are important are things like defensively, we call six and outs instead of three and outs. Three and outs are great, but they're awfully hard with today's offenses. But if you can give up one first down and then get a team to punt, you know, I think that's a pretty successful possession defensively. And then, you know, offensively, you're talking about explosive plays. Yeah, you want to have them, but part of what we like to do is kind of predicated on, you know, smaller chunks and just trying to wear a team down and trying to run a bunch of plays, keep our defense off the field, use some clock. And then we'll take the big plays, obviously, if we got them, but our defensive coordinators love it when we have a 12 play drive.
That's interesting. So do you think tempo, have you seen, because like I'm here in Knoxville and I'm a Tennessee guy, so we just saw tempo and just burying people with that. But it also just puts a lot of strain on your defense and the plays. It matters. We've heard Saban talk about the number of plays and how much that worries a lot of coaches all across football. It's just, it's fun. It's a better television product, but it's still really, really hard on these guys. Have you found that where that's something you prioritize where you're like, tempo's great, but our guys just can't handle that? Like a lot of these high school kids, that's just asking a lot out of them.
It is. And we probably, again, our tempo is less than a lot of the teams that we play. And that's partly by design. I don't think playing fast is the advantage. I always have thought playing at variable speeds is the advantage. I think you should play slow sometimes. I think you should play fast sometimes. I think you should play at a medium pace sometimes. I think if you want to keep a defense off balance, changing pace is important, and we don't do it as much as I would like, but teams that just line up play after play after play, you've practiced that all week. You know what you're going to get. But teams that line up and run a play and then run another play real fast and then huddle on the next one, I think that keeps defenses off balance.
Yeah, it's kind of like a pitcher who has just like some really, really good off-speed stuff and some really good hard stuff where it's hard. Then they're playing catch-up on stuff, and it psychs them out. Do you usually have your first drive outline before game? You're just like, these are my plays that I'm doing.
Nope. I know. No. And I don't know. I've been a head coach for 23 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never scripted a first drive.
I know
the formations that I want to get in.
Uh-huh.
But I don't necessarily script offensive plays. I understand why people do that. You know what drives me crazy is I watch people who do script mm-hmm. and have tons of success and then never come back to those plays again. I mean, you see that all the time. But
why do you think that is, though? Why do you think they don't go back to it?
I think that they when they scripted it, they were like, these are special for this game, and these are things where we think we can gain an advantage. Mm-hmm. And we gain an advantage. All right, now let's go back to what we do.
Yeah.
And there's...
It's kind of like overthinking it a little bit.
Yeah, I understand the validity of that too. But I think I've got five other head coaches on my staff. I got guys that have been head coaches all over the place and all over the Southeast. And I think some of them would prefer that we scripted plays, especially on that first drive. But it's just, I don't know. It's hard to say. I'm just not my style.
What are your game day routines?
Oh, you know,
do you have like anything, or you're like, this is how it goes every Friday for you?
I mean, we certainly have a routine. We have a routine for everybody.
I just meant for you, like specifically, do you have like a sack of gum that you have to have? Do you have a meal that you have to have, a certain kind of coffee? Do you have any superstitions with that?
No, not really. And the older I've gotten. So we always talk about this as coaches, but by God, if we wore something last week, we're wearing it again this week.
Yeah.
We talk about those things, but the older I get, my favorite time before a game is when we're sitting in the coach's office and kids aren't around and we're just talking as coaches, because we know we're all getting ready to go out to battle together, and it's just kind of the calm before the storm.
Was there one game in particular that you are still just kind of completely amazed that it went a completely different way than you thought this past year?
Well, I'll tell you what, the two games. Number one, North Forsyth has beaten us 2 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And I think on paper, people would maybe think that we're better than them, but that really doesn't matter. You have to play better than them. And we didn't coach. They coached better than we did. They played better than we did. They deserved to beat us both years.
Mm-hmm.
The flip side of that is we've beaten Walton 2 years in a row, and Walton played in the Final Four this year. They got Division I kids all over the field, and we went to their place last year and beat them 51-35, like that. My running back had 270 yards and 6 touchdowns. I mean,
pretty good.
It's just one of those nights, right? It's just we play them again, that nothing like that happens. But I've been on both sides of it where everything goes wrong, and then I've been on the side where everything goes right. Those nights are more fun.
I would imagine so. But do you have more fun winning, or do you have more fun just not losing? Where you're like, you're just glad not to lose.
Oh, there's the losses are way more painful than the wins are enjoyable. I mean, that's just the losses stick with you forever, because you second guess yourself. You think about all the things. Did I prepare for this? Did I have my kids ready for this? What did I do that was not good enough to help our team win? So that stuff drives you crazy. When you win, you just feel like, God, the kids did a great job, went out and executed, and kudos to them.
What about Mill Creek? You got them twice last year. Did they change anything the second time you played them? Did y'all change anything the second time?
We played them really competitively the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And the second time we got ahead right away and actually got them on a 3-and-out in the first possession. And then, I mean, they just hammered us from that point out. They were better than us. They played better than us. I wish I had a better answer for that one, but that game got away from us. They were good though.
Is there one game circled this year that you're most excited about?
Not really. No. And I don't mean that I get excited for all people say, you're non-region. That's just preparation for the playoffs. But I get excited for all those games. We get to play on TV. I love that. We get to play a county team in a non-region game. I love that. We got a new schedule this year. So we're excited to play some teams we've never played before. And so
Cambridge is new, right? They're just a new program altogether.
Cambridge is new on our schedule. And Cherokee, I played Cherokee every year when I was over in Cherokee County. I was at Etowah High School. But, this will be the first time we've played Cherokee. And we're playing Marietta and we're playing Archer. So It'd be different.
Well, you're closing with South Forsyth on the road.
Yeah, they're. I think they're going to be really good. I really do. They've got a heck of a quarterback. They've got a receiver that's, you know, this won the. I think he maybe got second in the 100 and maybe won the 200. Anyway, he can fly. He's freaking fast, They got a lot of really good players.
Something tells me you're not going to run out a lot of cover zero against South Forsyth.
Well, if we do, then I might be calling you up to be my D coordinator.
I got you, man. I love grinding tape and watching and seeing this kind of stuff. So if you want me to study some South Forsyth tape this fall, I got you.
I'll take any help I get.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, what can folks expect from you this fall? What do you think is going to be the difference for West Forsyth fans who are listening to this program, who are curious about what's going to be the biggest difference in terms of the Wolverines on the field this year versus last year? What would you expect is the biggest difference?
I think the thing, even the last couple of years, we've had some individuals that were really outstanding. I mean, we have a lineman 2 years ago that's running with the twos as a redshirt freshman at Georgia. And we'll have five guys on the Georgia roster this fall. And we got guys that have gone some other places. So we had some really good individual players. Mm-hmm. I don't know that we have the same individual talent. What is really fun is going to practice in the mornings and coaching these guys, because they gave great effort. They represent their school. They're good kids. And they've really gotten better since spring ball. And I'm excited for that. Talk to a lot of coaches. They'll tell you, man, they've coached some really good teams that are not very fun to coach.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I'm really enjoying coaching my kids. They're a lot of fun.
There you go. Here's something for your kids and the fans. So the most under-talked about Wolverine right now that you think will really pop for a lot of folks this fall, is there one guy this summer and spring that you're like, you've got your eye on, you're like, I think he's going to be a really good player this fall for us?
Well, this is, I'm cheating on this one a little bit, but my running back, Peyton Strecko, he got hurt in the third quarter of our fifth game last year.
Mm-hmm.
And when he got hurt, he was maybe the top rusher in 7A and had about 14 touchdowns, and he was really good. And he got hurt and he didn't play the rest of the season. And so he's a kid. I don't think he's going to fly under the radar necessarily, but I do know that had he played a whole season, his name would be much more known.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to seeing him, because he's a great running back, but he's also really good at catching the football, and he's going to play defense, and he can run back kicks, and he can fly. He's just one of those kids that has flat out really can run. And that's what I'm excited about.
Who's the number one rival for West Forsyth? It's kind of a weird spot. Like, who's the number one most hated that you found at the school? Who do they hate the
most? That's a great question, because I've only been there 2 years.
Yeah, so I'm curious. Like, who have you seen? Who do they hate the
most? My kids went to South Forsyth.
Yeah.
I lived over there when I was over at Etowah. But I kind of think maybe North, but maybe Denmark. Hmm. Denmark is pretty close to us.
Yeah.
We share some kids in the middle schools, and we beat them the first year to win the region championship, and they beat us last year at the end of the season, and they won the region championship. So, you know, I think either one of those teams, but our kids get excited to play all the county games. They really do. It's fun. It's fun. It's fun to have a region that's in your county.
I like it. When you get time away, do you read? What do you like to do? Fish? What do you do? Golf?
I love to play golf. Man, I get my money's worth. I take so many shots every time.
Okay. You're over there in St. Marlo. Where are we at? Lake Lanier. Where is Coach playing?
We play more often than not. We play at Hampton.
Okay.
Up north. Mm. But we've played at Lanier Islands. We play over at Echelon a little bit.
Mm.
And, we just had a fundraiser last week at Bears Best, which was really a lot of fun.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. So you good?
I'm not good, but I invited my brother and my two nephews down. Mm. And my two nephews can really play. And so that helped our team. I was the beefcake. That's all I was. I was the figurehead.
There you go.
I let them play.
That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Coach, how do the good folks check out your program and support West Forsyth this summer, this fall? How do they keep things going? Keep up with what's going on.
Well, they can go to West Forsyth Football, to our website. But, you know, we've got 6 games at home this year, including 4 non-region. We're going to play on TV in the opener, like I said, in the Corky Kell against a super Archer football team. So we're going to be playing some of the best teams in the non-region. We're going to be playing some of the top teams in Georgia, and just pay attention to the news because we'll be in it.
Precise there, man. Like, it was Gwinnett and South Georgia for a long time, the Valdosta areas, and then the North Georgia with the Gwinnett stuff, and now it's expanded. Forsyth is really, really beefed up in recent years.
I'll tell you one thing that I think is true. I think the coaching in Forsyth County is outstanding. I believe that every school in this county has really good football coaches. The quality of football has increased dramatically in the last, I'll say, 10 years. We had the same issue when I was at Etowah over in Cherokee County. We only had 3 7A high schools. We didn't get a lot of credit, but I mean, we went to, like I said, we went to the Final Four. And so the profile of Cherokee County has risen. The profile of Forsyth County is going up. There's some great players at Denmark. I think one of the linebackers just committed to Clemson. There are some players here, and I'm excited that people around the state are starting to see that in Forsyth County.
Yeah, I mean, and I tell folks here in East Tennessee, like, I go to a lot of these games now because I'm up here, and it's just different where I just tell them, like, you just go watch a region, like, just go watch a 7A football game up close and then watch some of the stuff here. And it's not a slight, it's just different. Different kind of players, different kind of talent. It's just not the same.
It's not, and I say that because this is the fourth state that I've coached football in. I've coached in Minnesota, I've coached in Nebraska, I've coached in Illinois, and I've coached in Georgia. And don't get me wrong, I've coached some great players. I feel like I coached some outstanding linemen in some other states, just some real big, strong kids.
Yeah.
But we never had the kind of athletes that you see night in, night out on Fridays, and not just in 7A from all classifications, but we see it every time in 7A. The athletes, the skill kids are ridiculously good.
Yeah, it's just hard. It's a different brand, but it's a lot of fun to watch, and I'm happy for it. It's just, I will maintain 7A football in Georgia is probably the best high school football you'll see anywhere in the country.
But we hear that from college coaches from time to time.
So yeah.
Well,
Dave, can you do one thing for me, though? Can you really help out here as Tennessee lost out on Carnell Tate this week? We got Nico in the building. I know Oscar is already Georgia bound, so there's nothing we can do there. But I need you to step up, whether it's Golish or whoever comes in the building and at West Forsyth. I need you to start pushing these kids to East Tennessee. You're like, the talent's good. The media in East Tennessee, no football. There, it's where you want to go. The Georgia, it's fine. They already won a ring. You know what would be even better? Winning a ring at Knoxville. That's where you want to go. We want more Wolverines in East Tennessee.
Well, I told you I'm a Nebraska native. The last time I remember playing Tennessee was 1997 in the Orange Bowl with Peyton Manning was a senior.
Yep.
And Nebraska throttled them pretty good.
I seem to recall.
So yeah, I didn't
pick it up. Like,
I should bring that. I didn't know if I should bring
that.
Right
behind, I got it right here for you.
You really?
Got Peyton right there. Yeah.
Well, that's a weird picture because he's upright in that picture.
Oh my God. All right. Dave, I'm going to let this slide because Nebraska football has been over for a long period of time now.
You are correct. Hey, I'm with you. I'm with you on that.
They just got hit by geography. Like, a lot of these programs, I just talk to people, I'm like, what more do you want from Iowa? What do you want them to do? Like, them going 10-2 is a miracle now. Like, this, it's not Nebraska can only do what they can do. Like, it's just the talent's not there, and kids want to stay close to home, generally speaking. And if you're not in an area where there's a bunch of 4- and 5-star talent, it's just really, really hard to compete with the big boys. Like, it's hard.
It is. It is, but their problems go beyond that. Their problems started many years ago, and they've just never quite recovered. But it's still a place with as good of facilities as you'll see.
Yeah,
the game day atmosphere is ridiculously good. And so it's a great place to play. But you're right. It's about getting good players in and then coaching them when they get there.
I think they're going to be good this year, though. I'm pretty optimistic. This is, I think, going to be the best Nebraska team in a significant since Bo Pelini days, who got run out for going 9-3 every year. The guy only just won consistently. Like, that was one that I'll never understand. Is like, what? Bo Pelini got a raw deal in Lincoln. But I think this is going to be Scott Frost's best team to this point.
Well, he better hope that it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's win or lose now. This is it.
I think that's kind of the writing's on the wall for him, and I hope they do well. I'm still a fan, and I'll probably fly back on my bye week for a game.
There you go. I like it. Coach, thank you so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it.
And you got it, man.
Yeah, we'll check back in again soon.
Hey, call me anytime. Appreciate you following our team.
All right, that'll do it for part two here on the Wednesday, June 22nd, 2022 edition here on the Chase Thomas Podcast. Thank you again today for coming on the program and talking all things West Forsyth, Forsyth County, football, Region 7, or excuse me, Classification 7A in Georgia, and just all kinds of great football knowledge he shared here on the program. So very appreciative to him for making the time, and go support the West Forsyth program if you are a local Georgia resident and are a big high school football fan, because we on this podcast are very pro high school football and love Friday Night Lights and supporting all programs. So there you go. Go do that if you can. Go watch practice. Who knows? Go do whatever. Get ready, because football season is only a couple months away, especially high school. That's going to be here right before you know it. Don't forget, folks, if you enjoyed this episode and you've not already done so and you're an Apple Podcast or Spotify listener, make sure before you leave this episode that you leave this very show a 5-star rating and a review. Tell other people why you like the show, why you listen, why you're subscribed, and help this show continue to grow and help other people find it and all that good stuff. Like and subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/ChaseThomasPodcast. And then, of course, email the program with any mailbag stuff or any questions for me, chasethomaspodcast@gmail.com. Part three coming up in just 1 second with Fangraphs, John Taylor. Make sure you're subscribed on your preferred podcast player so that you get all of my episodes, all my content here on the podcast on the Blue Wire Pod Network over on your preferred player. So you're subscribed and get it all and listen when you can. So part three coming up in just 1 second. Uncle Derek, how'd I do?
Nicely done, nephew. Chase Thomas Podcast. Hell yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.